Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Girls with Dogs. This is Kimberly, the blogger behind Keep the Tail Wagging. And I'm here with my dear, dear friend, Kathy, the blogger behind Groovy Golden Doodles. And we are Girls with Dogs. How you doing, Kathy?
Oh, I am doing groovy. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. I'm
doing your real tail good. Wagging?
My tail is wagging.
Okay. Well, you know what? All is right with the world. So excited because ready?
Yes.
On June the 12th, I don't know what time though. I should know what time, shouldn't I? June the 12th, I am doing my first Instagram live.
I am excited for you.
At 10 a.m. Pacific time.
What are you guys going to be discussing?
I'm talking to Sherry. What's her name? I just know her as Sherry. She is the host of Therapy Dog Talk.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're going to talk about.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah. So I have to figure out, I've never done one before. And, you know, when you're trying to test drive, you can't test drive anything live because it's.
Yeah.
Live.
Yeah.
Therefore, I have to test it. And so I'm excited about that. This evening, I'm going to the movies.
What are you going to go see?
Now, you know, you and I, as long as we've known each other, we've never had this discussion because I don't go to the movie.
I know.
I promised a little girl who was near and dear to my heart that I would take her to see the new Mermaid movie.
Oh, okay. You'll have to let me know how you like it. I'm hearing mixed reviews about it. You know, some people are, because I think a lot of people, of course, comparing it to the original. And it's not the same. And
it was an original Mermaid movie?
Yeah, The Little Mermaid, the cartoon.
That one. Okay, well, that won't have any effect on me because I never saw it.
Oh, that's too bad because the music is so good. That was like back in Disney's heyday when they would put out these movies and the music would be so, I mean, they were winning Oscars for the music.
Oh, I sang the song on the radio. I mean, you know, I won't sing it now, but I know the musical score you're referring to. But in terms of the music, no. I mean, the movie, no, I didn't see it. So I
figure I think this will be a sign of, creativity, because I think like with my favorite Disney movie was always, Beauty and the Beast. And I thought the live action version, I thought they did a fantastic job and I very much enjoyed it. And I didn't know how they could do it because there's the Be Our Guest number that's so big. And I was like, how can they do this in real life? But they pulled it off and I thought it was well done.
You can actually remember your favorite Disney movie?
Yes. I own both copies. I watched them. I love my favorite Disney movie. And it's a big deal because the original Disney movies, you know, from when we were kids, those are those horrible movies where they always killed off the mom and everything. Their whole goal was to make you sad.
I'm actually going to pull this up to see if now I will tell you if I'm looking at like list of Disney films, because this is important because I don't want to get anything mixed up and have you like yell at me. Believe it or not, I did like Fantasia.
Yeah.
Kind of scary, but I did like it. But other than that, I really can't tell you. Maybe Sleeping Beauty, because I'm going back to when I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
So to tell you that I like The Lion King, I mean, I'm an adult.
I was an adult too. I mean, Lion King was fine, but my favorite was always Beauty and the Beast. And I mean, that came out when I was an adult. You're never too old for movies.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I didn't watch the live action of Lion King. I don't need to. I usually don't really watch movies with animals, whether they're in cartoon form.
When Yella died.
Yeah, I don't watch movies with animals. That's fine. Y'all have fun with that. I thought the live action, which I think is the first one, the live action Cinderella was very well done. I've watched that many times. I might own it, but I thought it was really well done.
Cinderella, yeah.
But I don't know about, you know, I feel like a lot of people got so angry with them making the Little Mermaid black that is, you know, impacting people's opinion of the movie. But when I think about how I would be as a kid, I wouldn't care. And mermaids aren't real. So what difference does it make? But I wouldn't have cared. And that's basically, you know, the audience that I think of. But I doubt that I'll, you know, when it comes on cable, maybe I'll watch it. But Little Mermaid is my friend's favorite Disney movie. So she's excited to see it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, funny you should say that mermaids are not real. Hey, can't make this up, right?
Okay.
But there is an art show in Charleston at the City Gallery
mm-hmm.
of Black mermaids.
Really?
Really. Mythology of Black mermaids on display in sweeping City Gallery art exhibit. So bear with me. I'll send you the link. But okay. In West Africa and in the Black diaspora waters, not a barrier between continents, but a bridge that ensues, a lot in the homeland. But anyway, so I'm wanting to watch the movie, which I know is fictitious. And then I think that I will take a gander during the next week or two and go check out this exhibit.
Okay.
I don't know anything about it. And yeah, but you know, we'll see.
We'll see. You have to let me know. But I think that they try to make some stuff different with the movie. I guess the movie's very long. It's like over 2 hours. So that's different. And so it'll be interesting to see, you know, if
what
you
my
like
take is.
Yeah, you have to let us know on the next episode.
If I do not say anything, you are not to ask me. You're not to ask me.
Okay, we'll leave it at that then.
But yes, but I want you to read this article about the Black Mermaid mythology.
Okay.
And all of the different things that are coming out of this. So we'll see. As you can see, I am wearing my Black Girl Magic shirt. So I'm ready to represent. But no, I'm really looking forward to it. And this is a really cute little girl. She just graduated and now is going to middle school. So you're what, 12 when you go to middle school? I'm not sure.
I think so.
But she's just absolutely adorable. And I told her last year we were together when they first started showing the previews.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've learned that you have to be careful when you say things to people with strong memory. Don't forget. And so there we go. Speaking of going out, I wanted to talk to you about this new, what is it? The FDA says that now dogs, they updated their food code to allow dogs on restaurant patios and other outdoor dining areas, which yeah. I wanted to talk to you because we are at total opposite spectrums of the globe. And I was mm-hmm. curious to find out if this is something that is going to work for you all, because you never mentioned running. I know you don't take your dogs out a lot to places like that, but you don't ever mention being around dogs when you go to restaurants and stuff. Like you never share with me and say, you know, hey, when my friend and I went out to get Mexican food or whatever,
mm-hmm.
we saw the cutest fill in the blank. You never do that. So I was wondering if this was going to have any impact on your region.
I think it will. I mean, we have dog friendly places here. And so I have taken Apollo a couple of times to these places when he was younger. And I have taken Bella. I take Bella almost every week to a local brewery that allows dogs. And she loves it there. She doesn't. This past Sunday, when I'm trying to get her to leave so I can take her home and feed her, she wouldn't leave. And she was just like, I almost had to go and just pick her up and carry her out of the brewery because she didn't want to leave. She loves it there. But I think the brewery that I speak of, they used to have a kitchen and a menu, and they actually stopped because they wanted to be dog friendly. So they bring in food trucks every week, or I should say most weeks. And so dogs are allowed in there, and that's how they get around that rule. So I doubt that they'll turn around and then add in a kitchen again or start cooking again, but it's an option. But there are other places. There are a lot of breweries that are dog friendly. There are a lot of restaurants that if they have an outdoor area, some will allow dogs. I think the thing that always, when I see things like this, I always think about the person who doesn't think it through and brings their dog to a place like this, not understanding that this isn't a good fit for your dog. Like, this isn't a place for your dog to play, and you need to be able to have a dog that understands that they don't just get to run around and greet people and jump up on tables and do all of that type of stuff. And I mean, thankfully, in all the places that we go to, because people have gotten so used to seeing dogs, people who have, you know, I won't call them bad dogs, but, you know, people whose dogs aren't used to that type of environment, they don't usually stick around because it's very clear the dog that's causing a ruckus versus all the other dogs.
Well, you know, when I first saw the article, I was wondering if there used to be about the, I think what the FDA is saying is that they are okay in certain restaurants following certain protocols to now start adding dog menus. I remember that being a thing a couple of years ago, and then it kind of dissipated. And I think people were concerned about what you were preparing for the dog in the same commercial kitchen that you were preparing food for human consumption. But I mean, it just kind of just, I think it was a fad that they wanted to start and it didn't really go so well. So they stopped it. Here in Charleston, it is not uncommon for people to order a burger without the bun for the dog. They will actually, the restaurant will bring out like a paper plate.
Yeah.
You know, with a grilled burger patty on it. And then the owner will either cut it up or, depending on the dog, just offer the whole patty to, you know, like a Great Pyrenees or something like that, that will just woof it down.
Yeah.
But yeah, very, very interesting. Interesting article from How to Prepare Your Pet for Restaurant Settings, a standard for restaurants and pet etiquette, which, again, I've never seen a dog be, I never saw a human be asked to leave because the dog was acting up, but I'm sure it has happened once or twice.
I think a lot of places that I see have signs up, you know, with, you know, your dog needs to be on leash and, you know, your dog needs to be behaved. And I feel like there is a big, it's just uncomfortable, I think, for some people, that if you have a dog that's growling and lunging and barking and howling and in a space and nobody else's dog is doing this, eventually you're just going to get up and go. I mean, every now and then, you know, the last time I was at the brewery and there was a dog that was doing all of that. Eventually they just, I think someone got up from the table and took the dog because we're near walking paths and stuff. And they took the dog for a long walk because, you know, everyone's looking, you know, everyone's skirting around. You don't want to bring your dog around that table. And people will even warn each other. It's like, watch out for that dog because he's been lunging at people. And so people will, I mean, it's very clear that your dog is being a problem and we're all watching to make sure that the problem doesn't become bigger. And, you know, usually those people aren't around for very long. I mean, I wouldn't be, because it's like if one of my dogs is acting a fool, I'd be embarrassed. Then I would get up and move and leave. Bye.
Well, I had Tiffany and John were dating. Harley was a single dog for that moment in between Leo and Jackson. And true story, they went somewhere to eat in the Northern Virginia area. And a lady came over and asked if she could speak to Harley. Mm-hmm. Now, Tiffany didn't think anything of it till the lady got down on her knees and started barking as if, I can't make this up, as if in a conversation. Tiffany and John both said she was going, you know, like, and, you know, Harley, of course, was doing the Scooby-Doo head tilt as if to say, I just don't speak that. I don't know. And, you know, Tiffany said that it was so embarrassing. They decided to not order food. They finished their beverage and they left because now people were staring at them.
Yeah.
And like some people were saying, well, did he tell you what she said? And like, let's just go. Let's get out. And I thought, that's scary.
Yeah.
But no, I know I don't and take them a lot of times when I'm going someplace. I just don't. I think that it's, for me, they would much rather be home. The amount of time it sits to eat a meal, it's got to just be like not fun for you to be on a leash under a table. Now, if I'm stopping just to get ice cream or something like that, yeah. But to go and have a meal, I'm not a big fan.
I think it depends on the dog. For me, I'm so focused on my dog that I can't enjoy myself. So like when I go to Skookum, it's a group of me and my friends, there's their dogs. And what's nice is that if I need to get up and go to the bathroom or go get something to drink, I just hand my leash to someone at the table. It doesn't even matter. Someone will take, you know, and it's sort of like, we all do that. We keep the dogs by the table. And even if we weren't holding leashes, our dogs wouldn't take off and go chasing or anything like that. But, you know, we hold the leashes. And so it's a comfortable place and I can go there, give Bella a chew. And she'll just lay down and she'll chew on her chew. And when she's done with that, she's just laying next to the other dogs and she's perfectly fine. She's absolutely fine. And we can be there for an hour or two and she's perfectly fine. But I wouldn't make it a habit of taking her everywhere because not every place has the same energy.
Yeah.
You know, I can see it as a fun thing. Like, for instance, I would think that the places that I have in my mind right now would have already been allowing dogs. But like, if you're out walking your dog and you come across like what you said, like something for ice cream, or you come across some type of outdoor thing. And so you go and you sit down and have a drink or something. I see that a lot in areas where people have a lot of dogs. But again, those dogs are used to that type of activity and, you know, it's good for them. I wouldn't go out of my way to look for a place necessarily. So I think it'll be interesting to see if there is an impact, because what's interesting is that the only way I knew about this is because you sent me a link to the article. It's not like it's been on the news
or, that's, you know, my job.
It's not like, you know, local restaurants are putting up signs that go, dogs can be outside.
Yeah. You partnered with me to do that. This is
So would you like me to read a comment?
Oh, my God. Yes. Like when Harry met Sally. Yes. Yes. Okay.
Brian leaves another great comment. He says,
"Do you know Brian?"
Yes, I do know Brian. I have met Brian in real life. Brian works with, I think it's called Real Dog Food Company in Colorado. And Brian, if I am incorrect, correct me on that. But Brian says, another great episode. I wanted to add that the reason the hands-free leash works so well for Kathy is that it eliminates all the tension that can travel down the leash to the dog. That tension is often when we see something that we think may trigger our dog and we involuntarily tighten our grip. This tells the dogs that we are worried, and so they worry as well. Whether you think you're doing it or not, you probably are, because it's subtle. I see it so many times that people struggling with a pulling dog find that the dog walks so much better when they just clip the leash to their belt and get their hands off of it. And this makes me want to try it now.
Yes, he is absolutely correct. Yes, he is. And it makes for an easier walk for you. And you have a little more confidence because your hands are free should you take that tumble. So yes, rock on, Brian. You and I, we think a lot alike. So you need to go ahead, and I would, Kimberly, I would reach out to the umbilical belt. I think you are just a classic. You could wear two belts and then have all four on you.
I'll just do two dogs. That's all right. Thank you.
Excellent comment. You made me smile.
So would you like another?
Do not toy with my emotions.
Yes, this is still back to our, you know, episode 35, you know, the traumatic brain injury. What's funny is that that article got a lot of comments on Facebook too, of a lot of people agreeing with the fact that these injuries are really big. And even people in the medical field that says a lot of the injuries that come in are because someone was walking their dog.
Do you know what Lee told me?
Huh?
I didn't even know he listened to our podcast. That
you better start working on that voice.
Well, he was telling me about some lady that I guess he knows that I don't know, an older woman that was walking the dog. You know those poles? There's poles on the sidewalk, and I know people are cracking up with descriptions. And then they have like the wire that comes diagonally to like hold the pole straight.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a hard plastic, almost metal thing.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Oh, it's funny because they don't really have that here, but I remember them in Portland.
Well, see, yeah, because we still have overhead wiring in Charleston. It's just what we do down in the city. Walking a dog, tripped on the uneven sidewalk, stumbled, couldn't get her balance, hit the top of her head on that thing, broke her neck. Yes, she did. And yeah, that was my expression. And I said,
what?
I said, Lee, did she die? He said, no. He said, but it was a long road to recovery. And I was like, well, I guess so.
Damn. But yeah, it's a lot of people came back. I even had someone, I don't even remember what my post was, but they were like, sorry to change the subject here, but they saw my post about the traumatic brain injuries. And they were like, and just kept scrolling, but then came back and was just like, did you know that this is what happened? Or a friend, you know, and it's resonating with people.
Yes, it is.
I had no idea.
It is a serious thing. And so, you know what I've done since that episode? Stop wearing flip-flops.
Oh, yeah.
When I walked the dogs. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I was, especially after a good pedicure. You know, you want your toes exposed so people can say beautiful color. No, I mean closed-toed shoes now.
So this is a long comment by Jody. And so what I'm going to summarize her comment, but to start, it says, I once had a vet look at my carefully balanced recipes that I built in the animal diet formulator. And for those of you guys who do not know, this is meal formulation software that was originally created by Steve Brown, who is a master formulator, and companies are lucky to work with him. And it has been purchased and evolved by Dr. Barbara Royal, who is a holistic veterinarian. She's worked with Oprah Winfrey. Not that it really matters, but that was like always a big deal to me. But she was also featured in the documentary Pet Fooled. So I'm saying this because as I read this, you'll understand. But she says, only to tell me, so this is the veterinarian, told her that the diet was inappropriate, the ones that she formulated, and that I should feed 50% white rice, 25% poached chicken breast, and 25% frozen vegetable medley forever. If she wanted to, she could exchange the chicken for beef. if the dog got bored. But that's basically what, according to a veterinarian, represented a balanced diet. She later emailed the veterinarian the software results of that diet to show that there were deficiencies in 9 different macro and micronutrients, amino acids, and essential fatty acids, along with an excess of starchy carbs. And her only response was that the software creator was clearly had no veterinary training and that she could not continue to treat her dog if she used the created recipes. So that's what was so funny is that,
wow,
you know, when we were talking about the whole thing with rice, and I think that, you know, some people have reached out to me and explained that, you know, a lot of diets will have rice because it's low in phosphorus. And this is for dogs with like kidney disease or similar illnesses, but it's not meant to be fed to healthy dogs. It's specifically a fresh food formula, you know, veterinary formulated diet for to treat a certain illness.
Like diarrhea?
No, like kidney disease.
Oh, okay.
But you know, just this, I mean, this is only one person, but it's just very interesting that this, that a veterinarian, especially with the traditional veterinary community being so anti, you know, raw feeding, would say that 50% of a diet should be white rice, with 25% being poached chicken breast and 25% frozen vegetable medley. And despite being shown that this diet is highly deficient, refuses to hear anything different and is just sort of like, I can't treat your dog then. And that to me is, you know, I have had similar experiences with some veterinarians on social media where when I show them, it's like, I'm not making things up. Here's the science behind what I'm saying. Here are the other veterinarians that support what I'm saying. I did a reel recently where I listed all, I had all the books and opened them up to the page to show, here's this page where it talks about the benefits of garlic for dogs. Here's in this book. And I went on showing this and had a veterinarian tell me, still, you're wrong. And, you know, I showed here 2 studies, scientific studies that show this, and there's their conclusion. Still, she was just like, nope, you're wrong. And so it's, I think it's one of those where there are always going to be those people who aren't willing to look beyond what they already know. And that's okay.
Yeah, it's
that's
cool.
Okay.
It's cool.
Yeah.
So I wanna get personal with you.
Okay.
I know that you do a lot of cooking for your dogs, preparation. Says into cooking preparation. You know, you are the bone broth.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
And I bow to you.
Thank you.
As I still purchase my Ghost Ellen chew.
You may stand,
but
you may rise.
You sounded like Maya Angelou. Okay. But you make your bone broth and you are still a phenomenal woman. Phenomenally. But what I wanted to ask you, you never ever talk about your creative concoctions in the warmer weather, you know, the whole 3 weeks that you get a year.
I know.
Where you do any kind of summer frozen treats of some sort.
And I love that you asked that because I will be doing that this weekend. Today is going to be a warm day, so it's too late for that today. But what I will do is, you know, a lot of times I'll go, some fruits my dogs won't eat. But if I mix up, you know, some watermelon and I like strawberries, raspberries, blackberries, blueberries, mix it with some raw goat's milk, or I prefer yogurt, and give that to the dogs as a treat, similar to what you do with your dogs. I'll do that. Sometimes I'll freeze it, but usually only on the really hot days. The easiest thing for me to do, honestly, is just make a batch of bone broth, which I'm doing this weekend, and freeze it into smaller containers. That way I can just pop the lid off and give the container and they lick it out of the container.
Somehow I was just not envisioning bone broth as like a treat, But I got it. You know, if you're a dog, it's a treat.
Mm-hmm.
But I prefer to make those types of things. Yeah, I kind of prefer. You remember I went and bought the little freezer pop-up bags? I think I got 1,000 for like $5. So I still have them. Those were good to like take if I was going to travel or something mm-hmm. like that. Just keep them in the cooler. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, I've done that. You know, I've sat on the side and drank my coffee and squeezed up the pop-up so that they could eat the mushy stuff inside. But I love to take, don't let a strawberry look like it's getting bruised.
Yeah.
It just not, listen, in the NutriBlender, it goes to mm-hmm. die. But yes, I will really mix up any kind of fruit and either use the raw goat's milk. I don't do the broth. I just can't associate broth. I will use yogurt. Sometimes, depending on what fruits they are, I may add some peanut butter or anything like that. But I'll freeze something in a mold in a minute.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no shame in my game. And I want you to, there's some great, great recipes that you can add, like different things. You fix what they call like ice licks. So it's almost like putting stuff into the small containers and then dumping them upside down.
Yeah.
That's like anything that's frozen that he can like chew. I could put medicine in something and freeze it and he'd be fine. Harley mm-hmm. likes to watch it just literally just sit in his bowl and melt a little bit. And he'll lick what started to dilute it.
Yeah.
And then he'll wait and come back. and then he'll lick some more. But yeah, I kind of like to do that. I can't do too much with yogurt because too much of it just doesn't work right with my guys.
Yeah.
It just doesn't. But so.
Well, I have I've made some homemade yogurt and I have one thing left. So I'll be thawing that out and I'm going to thin it out with raw goat's milk. And then add fruit to it. Now, I don't add fruit to my bone broth. I usually, when I make bone broth, I actually don't always keep a lot of the meat, depending upon the type of meat. I'm trying to put this on and I can't get it on right. Depending upon the type of meat that I'm using, if it's a real fatty meat, I don't keep it in the broth. But if I have a really lean meat, I'll keep that in the broth. In fact, you know what? I think I forgot to order. I meant to order some bison oxtails because that's what I like to make my frozen treats from, but it doesn't matter. I'll just pick up some, some, you know, soup bones from the grocery store and make it and leave the meat in there. And so that's what the frozen treat with the bone broth is. But I prefer to do the fruit, get some fruit in there. I've seen people make really cool frozen treats where the things like a stick of celery is, and all this stuff is sticking out. And stuff. And so it's like yeah. this interactive thing and they'll put chews and stuff. And so they can chew on the chew until it melts down. And I've always thought about that, but when I have four dogs and they eat at different speeds, so whoever finishes first, which is usually Apollo, starts sniffing around at what everyone else is doing. So usually I have to pull Apollo into the house. And so I try to usually make treats that I think everyone's going to finish around the same time.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I like the whole, I like to do the treats now. If we did live together, you'd bring me broth and mm-hmm. I'd bring you the sweet stuff.
There you go. And we'd be equal.
Yeah, we could work with that. We could.
Yeah, I think so.
So, well, all right, girl, I'm going to go feed the boys and
all right.
for the Little Mermaid or the Mermaid or whatever it's called.
It's called the Little Mermaid.
I have to remember to bring my sweatshirt because it's always cold in the theater.
Yes, it is.
And I'm excited because I'm going to eat popcorn and a hot dog. That's my dinner. I already know this.
I know. I'm going to go and get myself some lunch. And, I feel like now maybe I'll go to Costco and get one of those hot dogs because I do need to swing by Costco.
Yeah,
we'll see.
I need cheese and paper towels. All right, my friend, I will talk to you later.
Okay.
All right. Good night, Gracie.
Good night, Gracie.